Well, good morning and welcome to Readers Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name's Nancy C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and your moderator for this morning. Today is Friday, January 10th, and today we're reading from the big book. If you're not speaking, can you please mute yourself? We are reading from the big book on page 70. The second paragraph, starting now, to sum up about sex. And today's readers are, and thank you for everyone on Team Friday. Reading the text is Benita L. Reading page 164 is Nancy R. And our beloved backup is Tamara C. And the host of our second hour is Leah S. And our newcomer greeter is Tony B. And Janice M. is on announcement. The reference number for yesterday's meetings, the 7 a.m. meeting, is 220067. That's 220067. And for the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, that share ID is 220068. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members, and we are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through the abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Hanayeta R. to please read the 12 steps.
Thank you, Nancy. I am Hanayeta R. from Texas. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm very privileged to be here today. I'm going to be reading the steps. Here are the steps we took. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Step six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Step seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Step eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed, and become willing to make amends to them all. Step nine, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the results of these steps, we tried to carry this message to the compulsive overeater and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service.
Thank you, Hanayeta R. from Texas. And now, Anita L., can you please read the 12 traditions?
Yes, good morning, everyone. This is Anita L. from outside of Philadelphia, currently in Florida, and I will read the 12 traditions of LA. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. Have a beautiful day, everyone. And I pass.
Thank you, Anita L. So how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read today. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. And to share, press 1 to unmute, and once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass and then press star 1 to mute your phone. And in order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except for the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 70. We are on the second paragraph starting with to sum up about sex. And I'm going to ask Nancy R., or no, Vanita L., to please get us going this morning.
Good morning, Vanita L. from a recovering compulsive overeater from Georgia. To sum up about sex, we earnestly pray for the right ideal, for guidance in each questionable situation, for sanity, and for the strength to do the right thing. If sex is very troublesome, we throw ourselves the harder into helping others. We think of their needs and work for them. This takes us out of ourselves. It quiets the imperious urge when to yield would mean heartache. So, of course, imperious is like a pretty domineering, demanding sort of urge. I love this paragraph because we've been talking about, and I love that the Big Book talks very directly about sex and its connection, right, with people who have addictions and alcoholism and other addictions. And I love they say, well, we pray about it, right? Like, I grew up in a religion where I got the message sex was a very bad thing and a very shameful thing, even though they approved it, like, for marriage, and was very separate from God. So I had a very big split in myself between my spiritual desires and sexuality. So I love here because they bring it together. We earnestly pray for the right ideal, for guidance in each questionable situation. So we're giving God all of ourselves, right? And we're giving God our sexual lives. And sexuality is obviously something that can cause a lot of problems, right? It can cause a lot of heartache, and it can cause a lot of beauty and bonding depending on how it's used. So praying for the right ideal, praying to let our sex life, you know, surrendering it to the divine so that powerful life force, because we know there's people who, you know, have really shut down sexually, right? Some people call it sexual anorexia. And then there's people who, you know, they're sex addicts too, right? So those are probably the two extremes of the polarity. But whatever people are doing, I needed a lot of help in getting my romantic and my sexual life under control. And so I just love that the Big Book talks about it in a very direct manner, and earlier just said, you know, everybody's got all these extreme opinions, and let's just be sane about it. Thank you. Can't see you there.
Oh, moderator, we muted. I'm talking away here. I got it. Thank you. I was muting myself. I'm going to take a list of names for people who want to share on this topic. And let me remind everyone that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who'd like to share on this topic?
Lisa B.
Christina
Janet
J.
A.
Christina.
Janet B.
Janet.
Tamara C.
Who else? Tamara C.
Did you get Riska?
Tina.
I didn't, Riska. I've got you now. Did I hear a gentleman's name?
Ian F.
Oh, hey, Ian. Ian.
Loretta.
Anybody
H.
else? Loretta.
Anne Marie.
Dara F.
Anne Marie.
Dara F.
And Dara F. All right, last call for this first lineup. Let me tell you who I have. And if I didn't hear you, please give me your name once I give this list. Lisa B., Christina J., Janice B., Janet B., Tamara C., Rivka R., Ian F., Loretta H., Anne Marie M., and Dara F. Did I miss anyone? All right, that's quite a lineup. So if you're not Lisa B., please press star 1 till it's your turn. And Lisa, you have the floor.
Thank you so much for your service. This is Lisa B. in Colorado, compulsive overeater. And I'm also a recovering sex addict, so which I addressed before the food. God drove me to address what was killing me fastest. In my recovery, I had to help other people. I had to get out of my own head. Without getting out of my own head, it's me and the obsession and no one else. It's self-centeredness, it's selfish, it's something that I couldn't control, and I tried so hard, the same as the food, trying to control it, you know, trying to prove to myself that I can do it all on my own, and being self-centered in the sense, in the negative version, which is the self-pity, the shame, blah, 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 just feeling bad about myself. The whole world revolves around poor me. When I started helping others, I was in a meeting once, and a guy said, and I would call people, and I would just bitch, moan, complain. He says, Lisa, why don't you try giving someone a call and just asking them how they're doing and keeping your stuff to yourself? And I did that, and it felt good. And I was there for another human being. And in the S addiction and in the eating addiction, connecting with other people has given me so much healing as far as human relations go. I used to objectify people. I was self-centered, selfish, a thief, a liar, you name it. And these meetings and connecting with fellows has been monumental in my growth and in my recovery. And with that, I am in. This is Lisa B. from Colorado. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Lisa B. from Colorado. And next up, we have Christina J. from North Carolina. Christina, you have the floor.
Good morning, Nancy. Good to hear you this morning, always. Oh, love everyone on the line. Thank you for your vulnerability and honesty these last couple of weeks. This is a beautiful, beautiful part of our growth. I don't know, imperious urge. I looked that up because I was curious. Dominating, overpowering, imposing its will and its desire upon me. I have a natural desire to procreate, and I have a natural desire not to starve, and I have a natural desire for love, and I was starving for love, and food filled that hole for a long time, and then going out of my relationship because I wasn't getting what I thought I needed in my first marriage is begin to fill that hole too. I had to have those experiential moments with the horror of having an affair, and it's horrible. But I healed through touching those hot stoves. Just like with the food, it became excruciatingly painful to, it's the first bite, right? The first bite, people talk about it lasting a few seconds, and you're in heaven, and it's so such a relief. And same with the sex, it's such a relief. It's so wonderful to be touched, held, loved. Blah, blah, blah. And then you got to get in your car and go home. And then you got to get in your car and get rid of the bags and boxes. And then you got to face reality. I used to sit around with bags and boxes in front of my TV, having sex with the food, literally in my mouth, just loving it and watching soap operas or watching some movie. And then the TV went off and then the bags and boxes were empty. Can you all feel, some of you feel what it's like to be sitting there and there's no sound, and you're with yourself, and you're, grossed out by what you've done, and you got to start again, or you got to just try to forge ahead, acting like everything's okay. What a horrific place to be. We earnestly pray for the right ideal, for guidance in each questionable situation, for sanity and the strength to do the right thing. So my experiential moments with food and sex and other addictions I have, the pain of it brought me to my knees asking God to help me. After those experiential moments, sex wasn't really a problem. I didn't want to have affairs with anyone anymore. I managed to find God brought me two men in my life that have been my second and third husbands. My second one died of cancer, and I have been excruciatingly blessed with love that I've never, ever had in my life. God has healed me from that wound of needing to be held and respected and loved and cherished. So I'm thankful to be out of this. And I'm thankful to be out of the food today. But the urge can come. Like some people have shared, a guy looks at me and says, hey, give you that look, right? And that old urge comes up and it's like, wait a minute. Get back, Satan.
Dental reminder.
Because I know it would mean heartache. I know that now to my bones. So love you all. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Christina J. from North Carolina. Another North Carolina, we have Janet B. Janet, please share with us.
Good morning. This is Janet B., recovered compulsive eater in North Carolina. So a couple of paragraphs back, it says, we treat sex as we would any other problem. So in my big book where it says, if sex is very troublesome, I cross out the word sex and I wrote fill in the blank. Because this is a formula to deal with any problem. And again, focusing on that imperious urge, urgent, compelling. That's the way I ate. It was an urge I could not overcome. It was so urgent. It was so compelling. And yielding meant heartache over and over and new experiences over and over. Tomorrow I'll start over. This time will be different. And it was never different. But this paragraph really gives me the formula, right? I'm praying for the right ideal. So what's God's will in every situation, for guidance and for sanity and the strength to do the right thing? Well, how can I do that? But remember, this step comes after step three. So what I had to do first was surrender my entire life to God, not just my food, but my life, which basically meant, God, here I am, take all of me, do with me whatever you want to do. And I keep doing that. So right now I have a problem with one of my eyes, and the doctor told me I will never be able to wear contact lenses again. And I'm like, what? That, like, no, I can't live like that. And finally, I just got with God and I said, God, I surrender my eyes to you. Thank you that I'm not blind, that I can see to do with my eyes. Help me to just be okay with it. Surrender everything. And it's telling us, pray for the right ideal for guidance. Well, if I'm praying, that means the founders of this book told me that they believe we are praying to a God who answers, to a God who loves us enough to inspire us with guidance, with the right ideal. And then more than that, for strength to do the right thing. I needed God's strength to quiet that imperious urge with food, to put down the food. I couldn't do it on my own. But this is telling me God will give me sanity, guidance, and strength. And what do I have to do? Two things. I have to ask him, and I have to throw myself into helping others, which doesn't just mean sitting in my nice heated house making an outreach call. It means, as it says here, thinking of others' needs and working for them. What a great formula this is, right? It says over and over in our book, faith without works is dead, like the marriage of faith and works. I trust God to give me whatever I need, the inspiration, the strength, and I try and help other people. And when I do that, the imperious urge for food or whatever is just kept at bay. We are so blessed. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Janet B. from North Carolina. And next we have Tamara C. from, where are you from, Tamara?
From Missouri.
You have the floor.
All right. Thanks, Nancy. Thanks for your service. Tamara C. from Missouri, so grateful to have the miracle of being recovered today. This paragraph, this whole section here about the sex conduct inventory has been really helpful to me in not just my romantic relationship with my husband, but in all of my relationships. It's just such good instruction here. And I love the second sentence helps me review like the previous four paragraphs. Where it says we earnestly pray for the right ideal. So four paragraphs back, it says we ask God to mold our ideals and help us live up to them. And so that reminds me that my ideals come from God, not from me. And then for guidance in each questionable situation, so three paragraphs back, it says we ask God what we should do about each specific matter. And I include this prayer when I'm doing the conduct inventory in a 10th step. I ask God, what should I do about this specific situation, this specific matter? And then I pause and listen for the answer. What amends do I need to make? What corrective action can I take to move forward in this relationship toward my ideals? And my sponsor encouraged me to not just make immediate amends, but sometimes I need to pause and wait for that answer to come or I'll do more harm. And then the next part says, for sanity. So two paragraphs back, it says, God alone is our judge. We avoid hysterical thinking or advice. So in my relationships, if I rely on my own thinking, before I know it, I'm being codependent, I'm being controlling. I need God's help for sanity in my relationships. And then it says, and for strength to do the right thing. And so in the paragraph before, let God take us to better things. It's just, this is reminding me, Tamara, it's all God, not you. You don't fix your relationships. You give it to God. You ask God for the strength, and it comes from God. I get the imperious urge to gossip or to try to control people, to blame or shame, or to seek approval. My relationships are a mess if I try to do it on my own. But when I put it in God's hands, the strength comes. And I practice, I clean it up, I grow, I do better, and it's all a gift from God. These instructions are really, really helpful to me. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Tamara C. from Missouri. And next up we have Rivka R. And Rivka, before you talk, let me just tell people who might have gotten on a little bit late this morning, we are on page 70 in the big book, the second paragraph, starting with to sum up about sex. Rivka, please share with us. And where are you calling from, Rivka?
Thanks so much, Nancy. I'm calling from Baltimore. Rivka, our gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Baltimore. And thank you for your service, Nancy, and everyone on the line and all the very moving shares. And I am grateful to celebrate two milestones today. First is 4 years of food sanity. Thank you, God. And today's my 70th birthday. So I really want to tremendously thank God for sustaining me on this just incredible journey. So we earnestly pray for the right ideal, for guidance, for sanity, for strength to do the right thing. Growing up, I had no clue what sanity was or the right thing. Food was always my focus and my obsession. And, you know, if I wanted to eat it, I had to eat it regardless of the consequences. And with relationships, you know, if you wanted me and you didn't disgust me, like, that was what was most important, because being wanted was my ideal, regardless of the consequences. Before I got married, I had a number of relationships. Two were with married men. One, I didn't know he was married when it began. I was only 17. But when I found out, it didn't stop me, because he wanted me, and that was my guiding ideal, regardless of the consequences. And the other I knew, but he wanted me, so there was also no thought, no choice. I mean, just like the food. And thank God, when I was 21, God brought me to a life of Torah observant Judaism, so the risky sexual behavior stopped, but it did nothing for, you know, the food obsession or my obsession to be wanted, because I still didn't know how to ask for guidance, for sanity, and for the right thing. And even after I got married, I thought I was in love with someone else, and I spent decades obsessing about that. And thank you, God, with program, my whole attitude and perspective changed, and I began to take ownership and stop blaming my husband for my feelings, which is really the only thing that you know, creates a happy life, because without it, I'm so completely out of sync with my soul, like that, which is what I totally love about this blessed 12 steps and God, you know, that I can be in alignment with my soul today and with my husband's soul, and like what a difference that makes. You know, we have a healthy interdependency today. I used to have a very toxic dependency where I made him responsible for providing me with the connection and intimacy and love that I wanted, which he could never do because I was stuck in expectation and resentment. So when my toxic thinking was cleared away, the consequences are stunning, And that's sanity and joy and love and healthy interdependence.
Mental reminder.
Okay, and with this, we can each receive and honor each other fully. And with that, I will pass. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Rivka R. from Maryland, and congratulations on so many fronts. Next up, we have Ian F. Ian, please tell us where you're from, and you have the floor.
Thank you. I'm Ian F., compulsive overeater out of Indiana. Very grateful to be here. Thank you all for your shares. I'm in one of those places right now where sex and also several other things feel really overwhelming and, you know, in those places. And I like this, I think this is an addict thing. I can have the best of intentions. I can be trying, doing everything I'm supposed to be doing, doing service, doing outreach, all of this. Going to meetings, and I still don't feel okay. And what I think is really beautiful about reading this paragraph is it says, you know, when we find ourselves in this place where we feel hopeless, where the problem feels really overwhelming, we pray for sanity. We go and we do the next right thing. We throw ourselves the harder into working for others. And it doesn't say that it will make us happy. It says that it will quiet the imperious urge. And I always used to be really pissed when I heard people, you know, when I would call folks and I'd be like, I'm feeling really bad and this and this and this is happening. And they would say, throw yourself the harder into working with others. I'm like, oh, don't you care about what I'm feeling right now? Like, this sucks. And the truth is, it does suck. You know, sometimes we go through these periods, these moments in our lives that are painful and are hard and are overwhelming. You know, but what the book wants for us, what our sponsors want for us, what our fellows want for us is to be safe. You know, we can't guarantee that we're going to be happy when we're dealing with things. But the whole point of the program is to keep us safe from alcoholism. And when I call someone, when I turn my attention away, even if it's totally imperfect and I have, you know, 10% of me is focused on someone else, when I'm genuinely trying, the imperious urge is quiet and I'm safe from it. And at the end of those days where I feel hopeless that everything that I did and said was stupid and wrong, you know, if I'm genuinely trying to throw myself the harder into working with others, with sponsees and with people at work, whatever, I can say that I was abstinent and that I was happy to be so. And that's a miracle in and of itself. So that's what I got. Love y'all.
Thank you, Ian F. from Indiana. Loretta H., you're up next.
Good morning, Nancy, and good morning all. Along with my precious God, you are saving my life. Loretta H. in North Carolina, a recovered being for today. So it says on page 13, my friend promised that when things were done, I would enter in upon a new relationship with my Creator, and that I would have all the elements of a way of living which answered all my problems. So here we are back at this relationship. And that's what I actually did a deal on when I was 50 years married. I've been married now 54 years, and I was my husband was my first real relationship. So of course I was very naive and everything, but because of God, because of this program, I have found how to work with another person, not only in our relationship, but with others. And when I went through for my marriage, fourth step, I looked at what ideal behaviors in myself were going to be who God wanted me to be. And then I looked at the ideal relationship or my ideal and my husband that God has already given me, instead of trying to make something out of nothing. And so that really helped me look at what I wanted, but also all the things he had that I took for granted. And somebody yesterday hit the nail on the head for my relationships, and it's finances and romances. And I've never had that many romances, but my big deal is, and to this day, well, between the anorexia and the stuff, you know, fill that hole. That is really where I have to look at my ideal relationship. And for me, this is, I'm the problem usually. And in fact, tomorrow I'm calling somebody who spoke on one of these meetings that really had some good ideas for relationships. So either ask for help or go out and help somebody else, because that is how I learn. That is what you've given me and God has given me. And it says on page 158, I think it is, when I find myself, I find God. And that is where I need to be each and every day, finding out who God wants me to be. And with that, I pass. Thank you, Nancy. Happy New Year to all.
Perfect timing, Loretta H. from North Carolina. And next we have Anne-Marie M. from South Carolina. Anne-Marie, you have the floor.
Yes. Hi, good morning, Nancy. It's Anne-Marie M. in South Carolina. Miraculously recovering from compulsive overeating. What jumped out at me had already been said, that, you know, we think of when if sex is very troublesome, when anything is troublesome for me, the best thing that I can do is throw myself harder into helping others. And it says, it reminded me of what in Bill's story, when he was talking with Eddie at the bottom of page 14, it says, and how appalling true for the alcoholic, for if an alcoholic failed to perfect and enlarge his spiritual life through work and self-sacrifice for others, he could not survive the certain trials and low spots ahead. So whenever I get into my head, like when I start thinking about my sister-in-law and how she behaves and how she excludes my daughter and how she is so very serious, I start thinking about all these things. I can ask God to remove it, and I can seek to help somebody else. And when that happens, you know, I don't go down that dark road and focus like all on me and how he's done us wrong and all that stuff. It really takes me outside of myself when I help someone else. And, you know, we talked about ideals yesterday, and here again it says we earnestly pray for the right ideals. And, you know, we're praying here for the right ideals. And then when I went into when I did my 6 and 7 step, I learned, how do I want to behave with other people and what my ideals can be. And I have those ideals written down, and I know how they are. Like, for my daughter, I want respect from her. Well, I need to respect her. I need to listen rather than talk. So those are my ideals. When I am in when I'm with her and something comes up where I have the need, the need to tell her what she needs to do, my ideal is to quiet, pause, ask God for help, ask God for direction, and listen. Listen to her ask, could you give me a suggestion? I don't really hear that much, from her. So I need to wait until I'm asked. And so those are my, some of my ideals with my daughter, and I have other ideals with other people. But, you know, here right now we're praying to God to ask for the right ideals. Thank you. I'm done.
Thanks, Anne-Marie. Appreciate you. And next up we have Dara F., and she's the last one in this lineup. So before you speak, Dara, let me remind everyone we're on page 70, the second paragraph, to sum up about sex. And although we value your opinion, we ask that you that you keep your shared every third day so that others might share their experience too. So keep that in mind when I take another lineup. And Dara F. from Virginia, you have the floor.
Hi, this is Dara F., recovering compulsive overeater from Virginia. I pray every morning, God, please show me how to make my relationships right and give me the power and strength to do your will. I heard somebody say on the line, I believe it was yesterday, and this kind of was very interesting, very pertinent to me. Somebody said, do I have to have intimate relations with my husband, whether I want to or not? And her higher power was instructing her that the answer is, do you vacuum when you regularly need to, or even if you don't feel like it? And that's important to me because I used to have I used to be very sexually motivated towards, like, I related to somebody earlier who said they wanted to be wanted, and anytime somebody wanted them, that was like the be all and the end all and the meaningful meat of a relationship, whether it was a good relationship or a bad relationship. I have a good relationship with my husband. I've been married for 21 years. But recently, hormonally, whatever, intimacy just isn't particularly interesting to me anymore. And that's something that I'm going to go see a doctor for. But that, I don't know. I think I used to, I'm very positive actually, that I used to think that if when I was dating and earlier in life, that I could use sex as a means to catch a husband, so to speak. If I did what they wanted me to do, that they would marry me. And that was my dream, to be married and escaped from my home of origin and to have somebody love me as a medal of honor. And I'm in a good relationship, but I did put like everything in my relationship basket. I put like all my self-esteem, all my self-worth, all my everything. Like, I wanted my husband to go to the grocery store with me and clean house with me and be my kind of my assistant associate me. And that's just not who he is. Thanks. And that's not his job in life. So anyway, I'm working on repairing the relationships in my life. And one of them is sex-based relationships, my marriage. And thanks so much for letting me share, and I will pass.
Thank you, dear F. from Virginia. And I'm ready to take another list of names. It looks like we've got time for probably about four more shares. So who wants to step up to the plate?
Lynn F. Sheila.
Liz E., UK.
Lynn F., Sheila. And who is from the UK?
Liz E.
All right, Liz E. And take Alexis one more.
F. Maisie C.
Alexis. All right, I got Alexis. Maisie, if we have time, I'll call you up. But Lynn S., you have the floor, and if you're not Lynn S., please press star 1 to mute yourself.
Good morning. My name is Lynn S., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. I love this text. I love program. I love our meeting. I love seeing God's hand in my life. I was sitting here, and one of the shares went directly into my heart. There were two things on my mind, and as this person was sharing, it's like the metal gears meshed, and I saw the two situations coming together because of the work that we do here. We pray. We ask for the right ideal. We ask for guidance. And as this person was sharing, it all just fell together in my heart. And I was particularly surprised about one of them, because what I was thinking and then what I heard were two different things. Absolutely two different things. And I saw that what it says on the page and what I heard in the share were the exact directions for me to follow, not what my head had figured out. It always amazes me how this book that was written so long ago applies directly to my life right now, right this minute, because the instructions are solid. They last in every situation. They last for years before us and now and years to come. I honestly believe this book was channeled by God through Bill Wilson. Mine and right into my heart. And that's why we're here every single morning. And that's why we do this work. Because we extend our hand and our heart to others who need it. And this morning I needed it. I am so grateful. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Lynn S. from Canada. Next up, we have Sheila. And Sheila, can I have the initial of your last name and where you're calling from? You have the floor.
What's the page number?
We're on page 70, the second paragraph. Did I hear a Sheila? All right, we'll circle back. Let's
I'm sorry.
Go to Lizzie.
Here I am.
Okay.
Here I am. Yeah,
okay.
Here I am. Sorry, I thought I was unmuted. Yeah, Sheila B, as in beautiful, from Florida. I chuckle when I say that because the very first time I came on this meeting, that's how the moderator described my last name. And so that's something that I am learning to embrace at, I guess, even on the topic that we're talking about. But I, I listen in on this call a lot. Don't share that often. But yesterday I listened to a recording, and when I listened to the recording, I mean, it just, you know, I just really am so grateful for the transparency of everyone sharing. Because I'm married 28 years. I'm feeling a bit, numb and nothing. I'm feeling apathy as relates to my relationship with my husband right now. And it's good to hear I'm not alone. And B, it's good to hear that this doesn't have to be the end of the story with our relationship. I'm not sure how to get from here to there, wherever there is, to where there's passion again. And it is, as the previous speaker said, you know, the intimacy part, the sex part. It's like, all right, the house needs vacuuming, so this needs to happen in my marriage too, and so it does. But I'm just grateful that I'm grateful to hear that I'm not alone, and grateful to hear that, you know, this is, it's real. And it is something that could cause me to be in the food. And so it's something that I can take this to God as well. I can really invite God in this part of my life for a miracle as well as the other areas of my life. So thank you all for being here. Thank you for sharing your story, your truth, your hearts. It has definitely been a help for me. Your share has been a service for me. So thank you so much. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Sheila B. from Florida. Thanks for pressing star one this morning. And next up, we have Liz E. from the UK. Liz, you have the floor. Liz, press star one.
Oh, sorry. I had problems getting them.
There you are.
Morning. Thank you. Morning. Liz E. for Elegant, a recovered compulsive overeater from Bristol in Southwest England. And, just do that star one thing if you haven't done it for a while. I didn't really want to do it, and I didn't really want to share on this, but God told me that that's why I need to do this star one thing. So I'm in at 62, and having been single for over a decade, I find myself in a beautiful new romantic relationship. And, you know, it should all be lovely, shouldn't it? I'm recovered. Allegedly I've got emotional sobriety. Woo. It is amazing to be recovered, to start a new romantic relationship. And for that, I am so grateful, you know, and for that, I am really grateful for all the tools, particularly my wonderful sponsor who might be on the line, and all of you beautiful fellows who, you know, take my calls and I do the work. But I've had to do a lot of work. And, you know, I've been a bit dishonest about stuff, and I've been very self-reliant and kind of got in there, and my beautiful sponsors really held me to account, which is amazing. But yeah, I want things to go my way, in my timescales, in my way, and it doesn't work like that. I have to and it's a different level, having an intimate relationship, and that's different, and it can be troublesome. But I have to get out of my head, and it is not any different really to dealing with other stuff in life. But I think because it's the nature of the relationship, particularly for me, imperious urge, you know, that can come up for me, that, you know, it feels so important to be sorted now, whatever the issue is between us. But actually, he does things quite differently to me. He's a very different temperament. He's a very different personality. And for that, I'm incredibly grateful. And I'm learning. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you for everybody for your service. And have a beautiful day. Bye.
Thank you, Lizzie. And she's in the UK. And our last share today will be Alexis F. Alexis, please tell us where you're calling from. And you have the floor.
Yes, thank you for your service, and thank you, everyone, for being here. I was in a relationship in my first marriage, and we had a very good sex life. It was frequent. It was loving. It was enjoyable. And then I started doing things out of humiliation, self-humiliation. And it got a little scary, a little dark. And it's a decision. Sex is a decision. Love is a decision. Meditation is a decision. Prayer is a decision. Vacuuming the floor is a decision. Washing the dishes is a decision. And on, ad infinitum. And I have the most trouble with decisions. Decisions are the hardest thing in my life. And I was making a list yesterday of which husband was better. Both of my possible husbands have passed away. But I was just, because I wanted to go back over it in my mind and make a decision which one I would choose. And yeah, I don't look regretfully into the past. I would go through it all again to have my kids. And, yeah, that's just how I feel. And it says, if we are sorry for what we have done and have the honest desire to let God take us to better things, we will believe we'll be forgiven and we'll have learned our lesson. Yesterday when I was making out the list of my husbands and which one I would want to be on, both of them, and I decided, I was talking to a sponsee, or someone on the phone, it was just someone on the phone, it wasn't a sponsee, and it came to mind that I was thinking of someone else, another man. And I felt very guilty about it. I felt very shunned, and I felt very ashamed. And I made the decision that
reminder.
To ask God first to keep my mind clear and clean of the desires that he wants me to have. And that doesn't include thinking of other men when I'm with my husband. Thank you.
Thank you, Alexis F. from New Jersey, and thank you to everyone who shared today. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing of this meeting. The share ID for today, Friday, January 10th, is 20,070. That's 22070. We'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Nancy R., will you please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Nancy R.?
Hi, Nancy R., recovered compulsive overeater from Illinois. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right. And great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep